Open your Bible this evening to Galatians chapter 3. We've already been in a wonderful service. I heard as good a preaching as I could possibly want to hear. And I made this comment up in Michigan. I read a lot of messages, read a lot of preachers, and hear a lot of preaching, listen to a lot of tapes. And the quality and the caliber of the preaching that these men are doing today. It just if you look down through history, it could not possibly be any better. No more clear, pure, powerful, scriptural, God-honoring messages than these brethren preach. I mean, they show you from the scriptures. You follow the scriptures. That just, oh, how that blesses my soul. We're living in a time, there's not many of us, but we're all who God wants us to be. We're where God wants us to be. And we are so blessed. I think we're in the times when God, by the Holy Spirit, is strengthening the things that remain. And He sure is pure. In that gospel, we talk about that pure religion and undefiled, that pure gospel, that pure Christ, that pure grace. Wonderful. And I want to talk tonight for a little while on, let me switch these around because I'm right-handed. And I'll about law, grace, and faith. Look in Galatians 3:10 with me. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everything, everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, beloved, law and grace are like oil and water. They just don't mix. They just don't mix. If it's of law, if it's of works, it's not of grace. It can't be of grace. And if it's of grace, then it cannot be of works. It cannot be of law. They just do not mix. Now, the law has a purpose. The law has an office. And the Scriptures tells us what it is. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The offense was already there. The sin was already there. The sin existed. But moreover, the law entered. God wrote it on tablets to make that offense appear what it really is, exceeding sinful. To show us that it's against God Almighty, a written law, that we have sinned against. Now, grace didn't set aside God's holy law. It didn't set it aside. What it did is it made provision for the fulfillment of God's holy law. And faith is receiving that provision. Believing God's testimony of salvation by grace through faith by the obedience and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Law, grace, faith. The greatest is grace. The law shows us our need. The grace reveals to us the provision. The provision that God made for us by His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the preaching of His gospel. Now, faith is what it does is it lays hold of that provision that God in grace made for us. Now, let's look at this law business. Let's look at this law. Now, I've been around some law people here the last few months, a time or two. And a fellow called me and said, you know what Reform means, stands for it, or what, you know anything about Reformed Baptists? And I said, yeah, when I think of them, I think of legalists. That's the first thing I think of, law keepers. He said, you mean you don't believe in the law? I said, no, whenever I'm around it, it always condemns me, finds me guilty. And that's what it does. For by the law, all there is condemnation and guilt. Look in Galatians 3:10, excuse me, not Romans, Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now that's just, how can you make it any plainer than that? If you're of the works of the law, you're under a curse. You're under condemnation. The law demands perfect, not only perfect, but perpetual obedience. And cursed is everyone, it goes on to say, cursed is everyone that continueth, keeps on going, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now look over, you keep Galatians 3, and look over in James chapter 2 just for a moment. Just for a moment. James chapter 2. You know the law, and this is what gets me, is that the law, any place you find it, you've got to continue in it if you're going to be blessed by it. And if you don't continue in it, you're cursed by it. And the first time you break it, you broke the whole shooting match. You've offended in all of it. The same God that said, thou shalt not kill, has also said, thou shalt not lie. Now you may keep so-called in your mind or in your life nine of those commandments. You break one of them, as far as God's concerned, they're every one broken. And how are you going to mend for that one that you've broken? How are you going to satisfy the justice of God and the holiness of God that demands your death for the breaking of that one law? What are you going to do? Romans, James chapter 2, in verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, this royal law, this kingly law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're doing great. That's wonderful. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. If you say unto one man, I want you around me because you've got all the wealth, you've got the power, you've got the prestige, you can do something for me, and another fella can't do nothing for you, he can't open no doors for you, he has no wealth, he has no power, he has nothing, and you don't have anything to do with it. If you do that, he said, the law convinces you that you're a transgressor. That you're a transgressor. And so speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. If you're going to say you're going to be saved by the law, and you're going to say you're going to be, or you're justified by faith, whatever you say, you better have it, the good. You better have the property. You better own up to what, you better have what you're saying. Because this very law is going to judge you. If you say this royal law and you love your neighbor as yourself, oh my, to think for a minute, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, in verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, what does it say? Guilty of it all. He's guilty of it all. For he that said do not commit adultery also said do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Now you can't break one link of the law without breaking the whole chain. And the Scriptures tells us over here in Galatians 3 that it cannot justify transgression. The law cannot justify transgression. In Galatians 3:10 it says that no man, or verse 11, that no man is justified in the sight of God by the law. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And that's where it counts. Our justification counts in the sight of God. That's who we got to deal with, God Almighty. Now man can justify themselves. Men can justify each other. But it's God that we have to deal with. And if you can find fault with me, and I can find fault with myself, and my wife can find fault with me, you just imagine what God Almighty sees. You just imagine what God Himself sees. That's why our Lord said, you are they which justify yourselves in the sight of men. But He said, that though you what you do is an abomination in my sight. And all beloved, look over here, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I want you to see this just a moment. And I tell you, and we do, I'm as bad as anybody that ever drawn a breath justifying myself. If I do anything wrong, I've got a reason that I've done it. It wasn't me. It's something, some outward circumstance caused it to happen. It really wasn't me. If I miss the hammer, if I miss the nail when I've got the hammer in my hand, the head of the hammer is what's bad. Not my eye. That hammerhead, it's just no good. Let's go that way and get another. it's always something outside ourselves, some circumstances, and that's what we try to justify ourselves. Now, we laugh about that, and we do that about ourselves. We just hate to be wrong. We hate to be... Ed Elmore, he'd been gone for some time. He said, Ruby used to tell me all the time I'd be doing something. She'd say, Ed, why don't you do it this way? Or Ed, if I was you, I'd do it that way. And he said, I'd get so mad I couldn't stand myself. And then I'd come to find out if I do it her way, it'd come out all right. But you know it. But we can justify ourselves in little things like that. But oh, to be clear in the sight of God. To be without sin in the sight of God. To be, when we face the holy law of God,
and those commandments that demands perfect and perpetual obedience. Now there we can't justify ourselves. There I can't say I'm innocent. There I can't say I've kept your law. There I can't say, God, I've obeyed you. There I can't say, oh God, I've kept you and I've honored you. I've loved my neighbor and I do everything that you tell me to do. I can't do that. And that's why, beloved, men can justify themselves, but it's God that we have to do with. Look what he said here in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves. Oh, that's a bad measuring stick, ain't it? Ooh, my goodness. What a bad measuring stick. Comparing ourselves by ourselves? Measuring ourselves by ourselves? And comparing themselves among themselves? Oh, my goodness. What does it say? They ain't wise. They're not wise. And oh, beloved, I tell you something. There's three things that level all men. We put them all in the same plane. Death levels all men. Death gets the wealthy as well as the poor. It gets the intellectual as well as the idiot. Law levels all men, whether they know it or not. We know that whatsoever the things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that all the world may become guilty. And that every mouth may be stopped. And secondly, or thirdly, is grace. For those who know and understand and have experienced the grace of God levels all men. The grace of God makes us understand that every man outside of Christ is hopeless and helpless, and that no one is better than anybody. You can't turn your hand for the difference of any human being that's ever lived on the face of the earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You find a man, and everybody will brag on him, and it don't impress you. You find a man that everybody's down on, that don't impress you, because you understand that God has made us all. We all come out of the same cloth. We all come out of the same lump of clay. Uh-huh. And all to be trusting to the works of the law is to be under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law. Those, beloved, who hope to earn eternal life, who hope to have a reward for something they've done, to seek acceptance, to have their merit make them good before God. By their deeds, they're under the curse, and they're not under a blessing. Oh, my, look over here in Galatians 5. Show you what I'm talking about. Do you know how all you got to do to fall from grace? You know, all in the world we've got to do to fall from grace is do like he said. Start running that mouth about how good you are and all the works you're doing and all the souls you went in for Jesus and all the tracts you're passing out. How much you pray and how much you read and how obedient you are and how faithful you are to the church. You start telling about yourself and you fell from grace. Just go under the law. Go under some merit, some reason of acceptance for God to accept you by yourself. And that's falling from grace. That's what he says here in Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever you are justified by the law. To say, oh my, look at me. There's God's law. There's what God requires of me. And I'm good shape in the sight of that one. You fell from grace. People think you got to go out and get drunk to fall from grace. People think you got to tell a dirty joke to fall from grace. People think you got to go steal something to fall from grace. All you got to do is fall from grace is trust yourself for one moment. That's all it takes. Either it's of grace or it's of you. Either it's of what Christ did or it's what you do. It's either of what God does in you or what you do for yourself. Ain't no middle ground. Ain't that right? And look over here now in Galatians 3. The law shuts us up to this. Oh, my, I tell you. Fella tried to tell me, that I was a man of Norman, and he said, well, you know, don't you even believe the law is a rule of life and that you ought not, that the law ought to keep you from doing certain things? No, I knew what the law said before I ever believed Christ. When I was an unconverted man, I knew it was wrong to steal. I stole apples at 6 years old, and I knew it was wrong to do it because just as quick as I had that thing, I was walking down the street in Winchester, Kentucky. And I was walking down the street, snow was on the road, and I was about 6 years old, and I had a glass storefront and a door, and I seen that bushel apple sitting there in the middle of winter, and I was sitting right by the door, opened the door, grabbed an apple. You think I went running in there telling him I'm going to steal this apple? No, I know it is wrong because I grabbed it and I run as far as I can go. I know it is wrong. That didn't keep me from stealing it. People want the law to keep them from doing something. All it'll do is make what you do stronger. It'll make you sin. Huh? It'll make you a rebel. That's all in the world the law will do. It'll make you just draw back your fist and say, I'm going to do it. If it hair lives, hell, I'm going to do it. Ain't that right? And if you think I'm not kidding you, how many of you have laid down the law to your children? And the moment you laid it down, you all went into wrath. You got angry and they got angry. The law works wrath. Huh? I dare you to lay down the law to live. Double dog dare you. See? Because it'll work wrath, won't it? Well, they're welcome to it if they want it. If you want the law, have at it. As for me, like I told him, you're a day late and a dollar short, save your breath to cool your coffee because there ain't no law coming in this place. Unless he's the high sheriff and he's coming in to take somebody out. That's the only law coming in. Then look here now in Galatians 3:23. The law shuts us up that we might look outside ourselves. That's his purpose by the law is the knowledge of sin. We have to look outside ourselves and look to Christ. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith. We're shut afterward. Faith is a revelation. Faith is a gift. But the law is not by faith. The law is not a revelation. The law is on tables. You can see it. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. It was our instructor. It was to teach us, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now when faith is come, when you come to rest on Christ, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, submit to Christ, and God's way of saving sinners, you don't need that schoolmaster anymore. Put the blackboard away. Why the school teachers say, we don't need you no more. Ain't that right? That's right. All right, now let's look at grace now. Grace, back over here in Galatians 3. Law. Don't want no law. Thank God, I know. What's your relationship to the law? Guilty? Condemned? Sinner? In myself, in my flesh. But now watch what it says. That by grace there is salvation. And it says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now the scriptures tells us in John 1:17, the law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses, bring the law. But oh, grace to redeem us from that law. Truth to reveal a holy God to us. Christ hath redeemed us from that curse of that law. That law that cursed us. That law that pronounced the wrath of. That law that said, damned. Christ redeemed us out from under. Bought us out from under that. What did he buy us with? Look at Hebrews 9:12. I know I could quote these verses, but you need to look at them. Hebrews 9:12. Oh, what a glorious. You see, he bought us. Redemption means to buy. And that's why he stood as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as Brother Todd already said. You know, as far as God was concerned, my salvation was as certain from before the foundation of the world to God Almighty. It wasn't certain to me till I heard the gospel. But I was certain that I was going to hear the gospel. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And the promise is, the prophecy is, them I also must bring. Now he's going to bring them. And the promise is, they shall hear my voice. And when he brings us, we hear his voice. And that's why we're brought, because we hear his voice. But here in Hebrews 9:12, it says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, not like under the law, not like the priest under the law, but by his own blood, he entered in once, took his blood, and entered in once into the holy place, behind that veil, into the presence of God. And when he got there, what did he do for us? He got for us, obtained for us, bought for us. How much redemption? An eternal redemption. Oh my. Is there any danger of my sins coming back to curse me? Is there any danger of the law coming back to condemn me? Is there any danger since he redeemed me out from under his curse for it to come back and get me? No. He obtained an eternal redemption. Why? Because he took his own blood. Everything that happened in that tabernacle on the earth happened in glory. I really believe that. This that on earth was just a figure of the things that were in heaven. I believe our Lord Jesus Christ took his own blood in that space of time when the sky was dark and when he died and he gave up the ghost. There was a time that he went in by the Spirit into the very presence of God and offered his blood on the altar before God Almighty. And I believe, beloved, he took his works and he put them in that golden incenser before the golden altar, and the blood and the works and of our Lord Jesus Christ ascend before God Almighty, and every man for whom he shed that blood has got an eternal redemption. An eternal don't start in time. Does it? Whenever you find eternal, that means it's eternal. When did eternity start? Whenever God said it did. And I don't know when that was. But that's what he got for us. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we had redemption. He just accomplished for us when he came into this world, because it was God's purpose. Oh, bless his name. We're bought with a price. And he brought our freedom from the curse of the law. Stand fast. Be established. Be cemented in the liberty, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made you. Christ has made you free. Works didn't make us free. Doctrine didn't make us free. The church didn't make us free. A priest or a rabbi didn't make us free. A preacher didn't make us free. Christ has made us free from the law. Free from the law, happy condition. Oh my. That's what we are. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he laid on him the iniquity of us all. And how did he do this? By being made a curse for us. Only way in the world. People get so upset when you talk about God's sovereignty and his election and passing by some to save it another. And they say, well, if that's not being just to say, well, if you wanted God to save somebody, how would you have him do it? If you was God and you want him to save somebody, and how would you do it? And they say, well, the first thing, I'd be just. I think you ought to be just. I think you ought to treat every man the same. That's exactly what he does. Huh? He treats every man the same. Only thing is, he treated his people for their sins and their substitute. He never let me get by with my sin. He never let you get by with your sin. Huh? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, God cannot clear the guilty. He can't acquit the wicked. They've got to be punished for their sin. If they're under a curse, they got to bear the curse. If they're under the wrath of God, they got to bear the wrath of God. If they're under the judgment of God, they've got to bear the judgment of God. And if they can't bear it themselves, well, then somebody else bears it for them. And that's why the gospel's called good news. Because we didn't do it. What did we do to become sinners? What did we do to become sinners? Just be born. What do we do to become saints? What do we do to become redeemed? What do we do to become saved? Absolutely nothing. Christ did it all. My sins were laid on him. He bore my curse before I ever existed. Ain't that right? And that's why we're up here preaching to you. Somebody will say, you mean that's the way God saves sinners? Now, everybody who wasn't in that covenant of grace, who wasn't in that covenant of promise, for whom Christ didn't dare die, they're going to bear the judgment, they're going to bear the wrath, they're going to bear the curse. And justly so. It's like you said, and you said, we'll stand here and say, God, in myself, justly ought to damn me. But, oh, my, he can't do it now because he justly did do it in my substitute. He made Christ a curse for us. Huh? The wrath and curse of God fell on him. Now, let me give you something to think about. Our Lord Jesus Christ, being a man, a sinless man, sin could not possibly have any effect upon him, being a sinless man. Is that not right? But sin affects us from the day we're born, from the moment we're conceived in the womb. We're conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. But our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world a sinless infant. Grew up to be a sinless man. So sin could not, the effects of the curse, and sin could not be on him at all unless he voluntarily took that upon himself. Is that not right? Everything our Lord did, he did it voluntarily from the day he was born. So where he was born, who he was born, and every moment of his life was voluntary because the effects of sin began to manifest itself in him the day he was born. He was laid in a manger, born of poverty. Why wasn't he born in the king's house? Because he's going to take a place with us of suffering and pain and grief and sorrow. And he bore all the days of his life. He bore, and when he hung on that cross, when he hung on that tree, there, that curse that was upon us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that curse, awake, O sword, and smite my shepherd. Awake and smite my fella. And the curse fell. And God being just and holy, he smote me in him. I bore the curse in him. I suffered the penalty in him. And God cannot come and charge me again for anything I've ever done or ever will do. Now, ain't that right? Now, that's good news. That is good news. You mean to tell me that you believe that you're saved entirely by what someone else did? By someone else's obedience? Yes, sir. By someone else's sufferings? Yes, sir. By someone else's righteousness? Yes, sir. By someone else's bearing your sin? Yes, sir. You mean to tell me that you consider yourself spotless and righteous and obedient in the sight of God? Yes, sir, that's what I'm telling you. If God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him? Freely, without a cause. Neighbor has looked for one enough. Freely, with him give us all things. Huh? So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, sits at the right hand of God. And right there now, he's pleading my case in your case. Not because we're doing something good, but because he has all the power and authority in blood and righteousness. All right. Oh, my. And here's another reason why he redeemed us. Here in verse 14. He has redeemed us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. He says in verse 14 of Galatians 3. Now, he's cursed. Hanged on that tree for us as a common criminal. With our sins upon him, our curse upon him, our wrath upon him. Everything due us. So, God, we've been punished for our sins. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's me and you, through Jesus Christ. Now, God made a promise to Abraham, but that promise to Abraham was Christ, his seed. That who would become and be his Redeemer, and all nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the promise, isn't that right? And that through Jesus Christ, we might receive the same promise. How? The Holy Spirit brings it to us. That's right, we get it. Huh? What a blessing to be delivered from the curse and dominion of the law. What a blessing to receive the Holy Spirit. You know why you receive the Holy Spirit? God promised Abraham that through Christ, that he'd come, and Christ would be his Redeemer, and through him, the Holy Spirit would come on all flesh. And when the Holy Spirit comes, who does he lead you to? As many are led of the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. There ain't but one place the Spirit leads you. and lead you to Christ. Lead you outside yourself. Oh, my. To have the witness of the Spirit within us, to have the earnest of the Spirit as a proof of a down payment of our inheritance to come. And it's a promise for faith. This promise is for faith. For faith. You know, a promise is for faith. And here's the way, this is the way it is. You know, if the law is not of faith, it's of doing. Somebody tells you to do something and you're going to get a reward, you expect, if I do that, then they'll pay me. But if it's a promise, I'm going to just do this. And this is a done. This is done. It's not going to be just, not anything to you to do. But just look to this promise here. Just look to this promise. You don't have to do anything. Just receive the promise. Just believe the promise. What promise? The same one I made to Abraham. What's that? That in him all nations would be blessed. Well, how's he going to be, all nations be blessed in him? By one seed, through Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Oh, my. And that's what faith is. It's for, a promise is for faith. Laws for doing. And then we have justification by faith. Look what it says here now in verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Just shall live by faith. Now I want to say something about faith. Now Abraham was justified by faith. It says back up there in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, some people think that faith is something you have out here that belongs to you, and that it's this faith that really justifies you. No, for faith to be your justification, your faith has to be perfect. And nobody's got perfect faith. Christ is the one who justifies. Is that not right? Christ the one who died for us. Christ the one who bore our sins. Christ the one who was raised again from the dead. What faith does is it believes that promise. It believes what was accomplished already. It don't add anything to what was accomplished. It don't add anything to you. It just receives what God's already done. Is that not right? Ain't that? I hope I'm making sense. And then it tells us down here in verse 17 that this covenant that God made to Abraham, this promise that God made to Abraham, that Abraham was justified by, was 430 years. That the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after. Abraham was justified 430 years before the law ever was given. Oh, my. Well, how in the world could that be? Well, God took him out one night, come to him, said, like you said, God said, I will and you shall, and Abraham did. God took Abraham out and said, Abraham, look up. He looked up. He said, tell me the stars, Abraham. He said, count them. That's what he means. Tell them, count them. Count them stars, Abraham. Oh, I can't do that. That's impossible. He said, count the sand here. Can't do that. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make your seed as the stars in heaven for number. And you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham looked at them stars and said, I can't tell them. But God said it. I believe that. And he believed the impossible. What the natural man could never possibly believe. And the natural man cannot possibly believe that salvation is already accomplished. And it was accomplished by promise. And the promise was given in Christ before the world began. It was fulfilled in time when Christ came into this world. And now he sits at the right hand of God to ensure that that promise is kept to every one of his elect people. Huh? Yeah. And I'm just like Abraham. I can't count the stars, but I believe God. Naturally, I can't do that. Can you, Lance? Can't do it. Oh, and the scripture for seeing that God, look there in verse 7 now. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I'm going to hurry up. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Now here's all nations being blessed, that he's going to have a multitude of seed that no man can number. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, what are they? They're the children of Abraham. We're all. The Jews said in John chapter 8, we have Abraham as our father. We never was in bondage. I can really say Abraham's my father. I walk in the footsteps of that faith of Abraham. I'm a real, genuine, bona fide, certified Jew. Descendant of Abraham, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And watch this. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's me and you. We don't like to admit it, but that's what we is. Justify the heathen through faith. Now watch this. People say the gospel didn't come to weigh up. Listen, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Black nations, yellow nations, white nations, Europeans, Americans, people that ain't been born yet. Huh? So then they which be our faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And I tell you something, beloved, the promise that God gave to Abraham of our Lord Jesus Christ coming, and that gospel he preached to him, is an infinitely greater revelation of God Almighty than the law of Moses could ever be. The law offers no promise. It gives a command. And if you don't obey, you got to die. And having no promise, it cannot be a faith. But the gospel, and I'll close looking at Acts chapter 13. The gospel is a glorious, God-honoring promise. He that comes to the Son, and listen, this is the promise. This is just one of the promises. The gospel is a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. And that promise that God made to Abraham is fulfilled every time someone hears the gospel and believes it. That gives evidence that they're a child of Abraham. That they're one of them stars that God said, look up there, Abraham. That's it. Another one of them stars is coming in. Another one of them stars is starting to shine. That's right. That's what it's on. Look here now. It says in Acts 13:38, Paul's preaching here at Antioch. Just to give you two verses. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified, cleared of all guilt, have a perfect legal standing, justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Law of grace and faith. Oh my. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention.